Greetings, everyone. My name is William Porter. Welcome to this edition of Storytelling Time. This podcast is sponsored by Every.Black, Black Entrepreneurs Podcasting Network. Our foundation scripture today comes from Matthew, the 7th chapter and the 13th verse. Enter by the narrow gate, for wide is the gate, and broad is the way that leads to destruction, and there are many who go in it. The Storytelling Time podcast this week is the second story coming from chapter 3 in the book, Heaven Can't Wait, or Can It? The sequel. The title of the story today is Maggie's Detour. After a temporary stop at her old workplace in Detroit, Maggie ended up having a nice remainder of the weekend with her parents in Flint. It was a brief stay, but she was able to chat with her mother face to face and to check up on her father. After that, Maggie would travel back to Chicago, the Chicago area, to resume her responsibilities at her daycare center. During the times when Maggie stayed at home over the weekend, it gave her more opportunity to be with Fred. The problem was that he was spending more and more of his time writing, which kept him busy on most weekends. Often, his work would be representing his company, Mefco Industries, at national conferences, which also eroded his time at home. These corporate conferences were held in major cities throughout the country. He even had the opportunity to return to Hawaii on one occasion, when the annual convention was held in Honolulu. Oh, how Fred remembered Hawaii. It was a blessing and a curse at the same time. It was a blessing because Maggie had arrived on the island, albeit because of her husband, and so it was an opportunity for him to see her again. But it also was a curse because it ended up with a confrontation with that husband of Maggie's, Pastor John Jr., who caught them together as they began to have dinner at the Village Hotel, their place of lodging. John ruthlessly pulled Maggie away from Fred, and Fred thought that he had lost Maggie forever. But as fate would have it, they did reconnect, although it was at the expense of Maggie losing John in an automobile accident, which she also was involved. All in all, Hawaii presented to Fred what he never would have gotten had he never gone there. Yes, Hawaii was a special place. Soon, Fred had returned to the reality of the Great Midwest, where he continued his career in the Chicago area, while Maggie was a road warrior, often traveling from the Windy City to her hometown of Flint. Happier times came to Fred and Maggie when they were married and started their life together. After relocating from downtown Chicago to the suburbs of Central Heights, Fred was away on business often, and Maggie ended up getting plenty of much-needed rest on those weekends. The times at home alone were rare for her, however, because she saw it as an opportunity to visit her parents in Flint. But even when Fred was there, He was bogged down with trying to adhere to personal writing deadlines or, in some instances, attending networking events of some kind in the city. The result of all the things going on in both Fred and Maggie's lives meant that Maggie was left with much time to meditate on the weekends, especially when she was on the road traveling to Flint. The weekends she chose to remain in Chicago, Fred often was away on business. One constant that the Mints had during the weekend, at least when Fred and Maggie were together at home, was their church attendance on Sunday mornings. Their pastor, the fiery Reverend Jones, did more than enough to energize the spirits of all who may have been in the congregation. These were times that meant a lot to both Maggie and Fred because, in addition to being spiritually nourished, they had the opportunity to meet with Courtney and her husband Gates. On a typical Sunday, after the morning service, the two couples often went to dinner together at a local restaurant and then go to one of their homes to socialize. On one Sunday, later in the evening, the Mints and Manleys would entertain each other as usual, this time at Maggie's house. They talked about all sorts of things while listening to soft jazz. Soon, they started to dance, serenading to romantic songs being played. Maggie just loved these moments. It was intimate, so sharing, the sharing of each other's love for one another. After serenading on the dance floor, the Mints and Manley sat down and decided to play a hand of cards while listening to soft jazz. Gates said to everyone, "Let's play some bridge." Then Fred said, "Well, Gates, you do know there's also bridge whist, which, as you know, is a modification of bridge, and it's much simpler to play. But you know what? I think I really want to play a game that I became familiar with while in the military, and that's bit whist." After sitting down, they all agreed to play the game that Fred really wanted to play, and that was bit whist. Then Gates said, "Okay, buddy, that's what it'll be then. It'll be bid whist. But you know that the results will be the same, don't you? You're going to lose, buddy." Then Fred replied, "Well, Gates, we'll see about that." As they began playing, everything was civil at first, with the Mints being partners playing against Gates and Courtney. After a while, however, things began to heat up. Then Fred and Gates got into a heated discussion. With apparently being dealt a nice hand of cards, Fred said, "I think me and Mag are going to run the table on you guys. I bid a 6-0. Then Gates asked, "You mean a 6-low, don't you?" Then Fred retorted, "No, Gates, I said 6-0. I meant what I said. You're not going to win. I've been playing this game since college, and also back in the military." Gates then responded, "You know, Mints," he began by calling Fred by his last name to show his irritation over Fred's confidence. Then he continued to say, "We're not going to end up like the characters in one of your stories. I don't care how long you've been playing. We're going to beat your butts tonight, buddy." "Okay, you two, let's get civil around here," Courtney admonished both men to do. As a result of Courtney's intervention, order did eventually come, but not until later. Everyone continued in their competitive spirit for a while. Even after a serious card game, the Mints and Manleys would sometimes return to church to attend a Sunday evening special event where choirs in the community would give a concert or a local minister from another church would be a guest speaker. The weekends provided a certainty of routine for Maggie and Fred on occasions when they were at the house together, especially on Sunday when they would get spiritually fed during the morning worship service. But as time progressed, Maggie would spend more time on the road driving to Flint to see her parents on the weekends. Meanwhile, Fred continued to have much of his time taken up with writing or being away from home at corporate meetings. Let's take a break and we'll be right back. Welcome back. As Maggie contemplated making another trip to Flint to see her parents, she said to herself, "I need to contact Sandra to see if she's still interested in going with me." Maggie did contact her by phone. "Hello, Sandra. Maggie speaking. How are you doing today?" "Oh, Maggie, I'm fine," Sandra answered with glee. "I'm so glad you called. I was just thinking about you and the good time we had when you were last here. Remember when you said you wanted to introduce me to your parents?" "Of course I remember, Sandra. It was only a few days ago. But anyway, that's great," Maggie replied. "You know, speaking of my parents, I've been thinking more seriously about that. Having you come and meet them, I mean. I was thinking about you coming with me the next time I go to Flint. It wouldn't be a problem to stop by your place and pick you up. You do know that Detroit is near my path going to my hometown. So while it would be a detour, it wouldn't be a problem for me to swing by and pick you up. So what do you say?" Sandra replied, "Oh, Maggie, I'm so thrilled that you would invite me to see your parents. I'd be so happy to come along with you. Just give me a time and date, and I'll make sure that I'm ready to go with you when you come by." "Good," Maggie replied simply. As Maggie continued to talk to Sandra, she asked, "How would you like to come along with me this weekend?" "That would be perfect, Maggie. I'll be free then," Sandra replied. "Okay, I'll be by your apartment around 2 o'clock on Friday afternoon, and I'll pick you up then," Maggie promised. Then she continued to say, "We can spend the rest of the day with my folks when we get there. Then I can bring you back home later that night." "That sounds good, Maggie," Sandra said. "I'll take off Friday and get myself ready for your coming by in the morning." Maggie said, "Are you sure that'll be okay? Getting off work, I mean. You know, when I was working at the church, things used to be very strict." "No, Maggie," replied Sandra. "My assistant can take over that day. Remember the way I had to do when I was working under you here at the church? I mean, I used to really look forward to you leaving because that gave me the opportunity to work in your place and to be more responsible for the people here in the office." "Well, well, I didn't know that, Sandra," Maggie responded. "I mean, I didn't know that you were looking forward to me leaving so you could take over. I didn't think I was in danger of losing my job or anything," Maggie continued to say in somewhat a joking fashion. Thinking that Maggie had taken her comments the wrong way, Sandra responded by saying, "Oh, no, Maggie, I didn't mean the way it came out." Sandra thought that Maggie was more serious than she really was. Then Maggie responded, "I'm only kidding with you, Sandra. I'm sure your intentions were good." "Thanks, Maggie. I wouldn't do anything to hurt you. You know that, I hope," Sandra said, her voice fading when she said that last part. But Maggie kept things as upbeat as possible, saying to her friend, "Yes, Sandra, I remember those days. Anyway, it's all set. See you on Friday." "All right. You should have my address, but I'll give it to you again just in case you need it. But you know how to get here," Sandra said. Sandra then gave Maggie her address anyway, and everything was ready for her to meet the parents of her former supervisor. She really looked forward to it. Sandra would have to wait a little longer before she would meet Maggie's husband, Fred, because he would remain at home and not come with Maggie on this weekend. We're going to take another break now, and we'll be right back. Welcome back. While Maggie was all set to pick Sandra up the coming weekend to go with her to see her parents, she was on the phone a lot talking with her mother on those weekends when she did not make the trip to Flint. I guess it's a mother-daughter thing, she often said about her relationship with Mincy. Fred would sometimes complain about the amount of time Maggie was spending with her mother at the expense of their relationship. The previous Saturday was one of those times when Maggie spent a lot of time talking with her mother on the phone. As Fred was moving around the house, he could not help but listen to some of the conversation. When Maggie finally hung up, Fred said, "I know who you were talking with on the phone." Maggie replied, "Yes, Fred, it was my mother. We just talked about this and that." Being together with Fred on those rare weekends at home was a restful time, but because of her work at the daycare during the week, it became very difficult for her, even on the weekends. But more and more the responsibility of running the daycare fell on the shoulders of Maggie's niece, Mary. As time went on, Maggie had more opportunity to think about all the things that had happened in her life up to this point. Having now delegated much of the day-to-day duties of running the daycare to her niece, Mary was a willing worker. After a few years helping Maggie with her business, she had plans to start her own daycare. It helped that Maggie did not want to increase the number of babies she would care for. She always had three, and that was the number she wanted to keep moving forward with the business. Maggie was intentional about having a small number of children to care for in the business, because she had limited assistance, with only Mary helping her. The small number of babies Maggie had to attend to led to an occasional turnover of the little ones over the few years of her running the facility. Maggie loved the time when the children were large enough to move on to another place that cared for older children, which usually was around 2 years of age. Almost always at such times, there was a replacement when it came time for a given baby to move on to another facility. Their parents or guardians would take care of that. With Fred spending so much time either writing or fulfilling responsibilities at MEFCO, Maggie felt the freedom of doing some of the things she really wanted to do. One of those things was making frequent trips to see her parents in Flint. Maggie looked forward to going to see them, but she did have a hidden agenda, one that she did not tell Fred about, at least not at first, and that was her intentions to pick Sandra up. Maggie intended to keep her promise to pick up her friend on the coming Friday and to eventually introduce her to Mincy and Matthew as soon as they arrived at her parents' house. Maggie really looked forward to Sandra riding with her on that last leg of the trip from Detroit to Flint. Before Maggie knew it, the weekend was upon her, and by Thursday she made preparations to make her trip from the Chicago area to Detroit to pick up Sandra, then continue to her hometown. As before, this time it would be after another detour for Maggie, one where she would go back to the church where her deceased husband, John, pastored, and to pick up her old co-worker, Sandra. Soon Maggie would arrive at her apartment. We'll be right back after a break. Stay with us. Welcome back. Early in the morning of Maggie's departure for Flint, she had breakfast as usual with Fred. Even before they finished their meal, Maggie got up and was ready to hit the road again. "Hate to leave early, honey, but I need to get out on the road before all the traffic." "Okay, Mick. Drive carefully," Fred responded. With that, Maggie was off for another weekend at her parents' house, but not before stopping over in Detroit to pick up Sandra to go with her. During Maggie's trip to see her parents, the drive north to Flint from the Detroit area would usually be the worst part of the journey. She always made the trip alone and had to fight fatigue during the last leg of the journey, about an hour's drive. But on this trip, Maggie would be driving with a passenger to keep her company. Maggie looked forward to having Sandra with her because she was sure to have a good time riding with her old workmate, and the trip would not be nearly as tiresome as some of the trips in the past had gone without her. When Maggie arrived at Sandra's apartment, she blew her horn twice. Knowing that Maggie would be there at that hour, Sandra was ready to leave upon her arrival. She came out and greeted Maggie, then hopped into the car, and off they went toward Flint. Sandra was fun-loving and interesting to talk to. The hour's drive was filled with laughter. While Maggie knew little of Sandra's personal life, they worked together well at the church before she left. And that's what they talked about, old times at Faith Methodist. As they arrived in Flint, Sandra was immediately impressed with the small-town feel of the place. She had always wondered how life would be in such a small town. Soon, Maggie had arrived at her parents' house. They both got out of the car, and Sandra continued to be amazed at the small town and innocence she felt in that environment. Finally, they had arrived. They were now on the front porch that Maggie knew so well. As Maggie rang the doorbell, Missy came quickly to receive her daughter and Sandra. She had expected them for the last hour or so. "Hello, Mama. I want you to meet my friend, Sandra." "Well, hello, Sandra," Missy said. "I've heard quite a lot about you, and all of it was good. I'm so glad Maggie asked if she could bring you over, and based on what I've heard about you, there was no problem. You're more than welcome to be here." "Why, thank you, Ms. Downs," Sandra responded. "Now, wait a minute. Let's not be so formal here. Just call me Mincy," she urged Sandra. "Why, sure, Mincy," Sandra replied, hesitating a bit. She still was not quite comfortable calling Maggie's mother by her first name. Then Sandra added, "I look forward to talking with both you and your husband." Missy replied, "Okay, I'm sure he'll be glad to meet you." Then Missy corrected herself to recognize her daughter. "Oh, I forgot. How are you doing, Maggie?"
"I'm fine, Mama," Maggie replied.
Then Missy returned her attention to Sandra and tried to justify her ignoring her daughter by greeting her friend. She said to Sandra, "You know, Sandra, I see Maggie all the time. Well, at least we talk a lot on the phone. And I'm always glad to see her." Missy concluded her greeting by saying, "So for today, Sandra, you're the special one around here."
"Well, thank you, Missy." Then Missy continued to say,
"Listen, Sandra, I understand that you were hired to be the church administrator there at Faith Methodist by my late son-in-law, John, when he was pastor. He talked to me some about you and how qualified you were for the position. And Maggie has said a lot of good things about you as well.
you working there? Well, thank you, Mincy, Sandra replied. Maggie continued to say, yeah, you seem to be a real nice Christian woman. I'm so glad my daughter brought you over and introduced you to us. Then she added, well, enough of me talking. Come on in here and I'll introduce you to my husband, Matthew. At that point, they all went into the room where Matthew was. Matthew, look who I have to see you. It's Maggie and her friend Sandra, Mincy said. Oh, so Maggie's here, he repeated what Mincy had said. Yes, Maggie is here, but I want you to meet Sandra, her friend, Mincy said for a second time. Mincy then guided Sandra closer to where Matthew sat. Before he had a chance to speak, Sandra said, oh, sir, it's a pleasure meeting you. Then, before Sandra could say anything else or give Matthew a chance to respond, Mincy said, okay, everyone, dinner is ready. I've been preparing it all day, so all of you can come on in to the dining room. As Mincy guided Matthew in his wheelchair into the dining area, he took the chance to speak to Maggie, but he was really interested in getting to know her friend, Sandra. Maggie took Sandra by her hand and brought her to the dining room near the kitchen to prepare to eat dinner. As he always did, Matthew asked the blessing over the food, and then all of them partook in a sumptuous meal that Missy had prepared. While Maggie continued to entertain Sandra, the most pleasure that Sandra received was from Maggie's father, Matthew. In future weeks, Sandra, being only an hour's drive away from Maggie's parents' house, would begin to visit them more often on weekends. Maggie, on the other hand, would spend less time with her parents. The reason for Maggie spending less time at her parents' house in coming weeks was her growing interest in a previous acquaintance who lived in Detroit. That acquaintance happened to have been an old friend, a close friend from her days of working at the law firm in the city. Yes, she decided to visit him on occasion instead of continuing on to Flint. Well, certainly Maggie had the opportunity with her supposedly weekly visits to Flint to see her parents. We will find out more about this arrangement in the weeks to come. But for now, it was Sandra who began to visit Mincy and Matthew more often, and she learned a lot more about them. Of course, they also learned a lot about her. A mutually strong relationship was being developed between Sandra and Maggie's parents. Well, that's all for today. In closing, I'd like to say that whatever you may be going through, whether it's good or bad, just keep this in mind, that there's always more good things coming your way. We'll see you the next time.